is Bronze of Modern Gods. I'm John.
And I'm Richard.
Hey, Richard, what's going on? Hi, everybody. Welcome. We're glad to see you another week. The second week of the new year. I'm telling you things you already know. Who cares? Hey, if you're not following us on Modern Gods on Facebook and Instagram, please do so. And if you like this video, please hit like, hit subscribe. We tell you every week because we mean it. We love you guys and we love having you here. So help us reach more people. This week, Richard has come up with a killer topic. Our picks for under $100. If we had $100 to spend, what two books would we suggest you purchase with that $100 or less?
That's a sawbones in your old timey talk, right, John?
Do you have two sawbones to rub together? Well, by the end of this episode, you'll have two comic books to rub together. But first, we've got our hot book of the week. Richard, what is it?
Our hot book this week is Thor number 20. This is a brand new book. And the reason it's hot is because it's the first appearance of the God of Hammers.
Oh, God. Okay, go on.
It seems to be appropriate for a book about a god with a hammer.
It's a new comic. It came out Wednesday. Immediately started selling for $20 to $30 raw on eBay. The real story here is the 1 in 25 ratio cover that's going for $150 to $175. We're warning you now, people. Remember, what was that guy in issue 5?
Oh, Black Winter.
Black Winter. Remember Black Winter? I don't.
Well, my wallet does because I put a lot of money into that guy. So that's the problem. And this is a hot character today. Before you invest a lot of money in it, make sure you think about, is this going to be a hot character in 3 years, for example?
Second print coming out next month on the 16th already. Just remember the lessons from a year and a half ago when Thors were getting second, third, fourth, fifth printings. How are they doing for you now?
Yeah. This is definitely a book. If you're interested in this character, today is not the day to buy it. Buy it on the dip, which the dip will come. Even if this character ends up being, a super successful character in the mythos of Thor, there's going to be a dip before it reaches that magnitude. I would buy then, not now, when everybody's frenzied and picking up every copy they can get their hands on.
No spoilers, but do you know who the God of Hammers is? Have you read it? Have you read
it? It's Thor's son, right?
Kindish. Okay. Read the book, everybody, and then make your own call.
Okay.
Go on Comixology and read it, and then decide whether you want to spend $20 on it. All right. That's all I'm going to say. Our main topic this week, since we're giving recommendations, what are you going to spend when you got $100 in your pocket and you want to invest in something? We're going to help you, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Richard, what's your first pick?
My first pick is a Star Wars book. I picked one of a Star Wars book and a non Star Wars. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. my pick is Darth Vader number 25, the action figure variant. This book has on its cover, not Darth Vader, but Dr. Aphra, who is a female character in Darth Vader's books originally, who is an archaeological...
who's he wants it?
Yeah, who's he? What's it? Think Indiana Jones, a female Indiana Jones with no morals. This person goes out. She finds different technology that has been lost to the ages, and that's her thing. Great character. Started off in Darth Vader issue number 3 in the series, and it really, really took off. The reason why I think this is hot is one of the characters in that same series is Black Kirsten.
That's easy for you to say.
Buddy. Oh my God, this name is horrible. Kirsten. That's a good one. We'll go with that. Black Kirsten.
Yeah.
Black Kirsten is a Wookiee. He is a mean Wookiee. He is a gladiator Wookiee who enjoys torturing his opponents. So he's a pretty bad dude, and he showed up. I'm going to give a spoiler here. He shows up in Book of Boba Fett issue, episode number 2, briefly, probably for a total of 40 seconds. But it's him, And Boba Fett acknowledges that it's him. And so the thought is, if he's in it, we're going to see Dr. Aphra at some point as well.
Does Boba Fett pronounce his name correctly?
He does not name him specifically. Yeah. He's
the problem. All right.
Yeah. But that book, the Black Chrysanthemum book, is going for $75 to $100 now today, because of that brief appearance in that episode. If Dr. Aphra shows up in an episode of either Boba Fett or one of the series coming up, like the Ahsoka series, it's going to be huge. It's going to explode. Right now, you can pick these up for $30 to $40 on eBay, which is what I do. I pick them up and just put them away, because you know no one is specking on it right now. So the value of this book really is in this future appearance of this character. But it's definitely something to be on the lookout for.
All right. Yet another unpronounceable Star Wars character.
Yeah, seriously.
Katano, whatever you call it. My first pick for under $100 is one we've talked about on the show. You have talked about this one more than I have, but I agree with you. And that is Ms. Marvel number one from 2014. The unimaginable seventh print. What? This is pretty much a ghost book at this point. It's tough to find these still, but we've seen some recent sales around $90 on eBay, so it just makes the cut under $100. This version of the Ms. Marvel number one cover is pretty easy to spot because it's the sketch variant cover version, but it has a teal logo, that light blue with a little bit of green in it. And you can spot it from a mile away. I don't know if you're going to spot it, because I think there are less than 1,800 of these in existence. Is that correct?
Yeah, these are real sketch. Obviously, by the time you got to the seventh print, they weren't churning them out. But yeah, this is a really, really hard book to come by. I actually have a graded 9.8 that I picked up last year. And I would definitely look at this book as being a hot book for the Ms. Marvel speculators. It's really, really tough to come by. It's a very popular book to begin with. This is her first solo title. So if you're looking for those kinds of exclusive books, this is definitely high on that list.
There's an upcoming Disney Plus show. This has plenty of room to grow. And I have an anecdote around this book that makes me really bullish on it. And it could be, a survey of one. So caveats there. I was at the gym this week. And I overheard civilians, non-comic book people, talking about Kamala Khan and Ms. Marvel. And you know me, I'm nosy. I'm like, pull my earbuds out. And I'm like, do, 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 do. And they were talking about how there's this character. It's a Muslim character that's going to be on Disney Plus, and they were super excited about it. And I thought, wow, it's penetrating to a point where the non-comic collecting civilians are aware of her. So who knows what's going to happen? Maybe I just go to a cool gym.
No, I think Marvel's really positioning her. Marvel's positioning up a changing of the guard. And I think she's an important key of that, where the old characters that made up the past 15 years are retiring, and we're getting a whole new cast of characters. And I think she is one of those pivotal characters in that group.
All right. What do you have next?
Next, I have a book that I pick up all the time. Sensational She-Hulk number one. This is the start of She-Hulk's probably most humorous series. She breaks the fourth wall. She doesn't take herself seriously. And I think there's a cheesy 90s logo for the new She-Hulk TV series that's coming out here shortly. I think it kind of hints that maybe they're going to go for the less serious type or form of She-Hulk.
Good eye.
Excellent John Byrne art. John Byrne is one of my favorite artists. He does the artwork for this book, the cover. It's a gorgeous cover, and it's a funny cover where she makes references to herself again. She breaks the fourth wall all the time in this book. You can pick it up for about $50 or so. I do all the time. I see him at cons all the time. I see him on con walls. I see him in the, I don't want to say dollar bins, but the less expensive secondary books. And I think for $50, this is a great buy, because when her show comes out, and if it leans towards this kind of less serious, or even if it doesn't, this She-Hulk in general, I think, is going to hit a spike when the series comes out. This is a great book to have. I mean, it's the number one of the series, and it's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek cover. When I buy this book, I also look for issue number 60.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. It's the last issue of the series. It's the counterpoint to this, to the issue number one cover, where she threatens to rip up your X-Men books. Well, because the series is canceled, she's going to make good on her threat and come and rip up all your X-Men. So it's a great pair. If you see 60, I definitely would pick it up also. The money book out of this series, though, is issue number 40. It's the Jump Rope issue.
Yeah, you're not getting that for under 100.
You're not getting that for under 100 bucks. But if you're looking at She-Hulks and you come across issue 1 and 60, maybe see a 40s in between. You never know.
All right, so She-Hulk number 1. Sensational She-Hulk number 1. Uh-huh. Not so much. I see this a lot on live sales. I see this a lot when people are selling this book. So I want you guys to stop this and take note. And I don't think anybody's doing it on purpose. I just think they don't know. They always say it's a newsstand because it has a UPC on it. Everyone, there is no direct version of Sensational She-Hulk number 1. They all have a UPC. They did not, for some reason, swap it out. There was no black plate change. There's no direct market edition of Sensational She-Hulk number 1. So they're all newsstands. They all have a UPC. So stop it.
That explains why you never see a direct, quote-unquote, copy of this book.
Because they don't exist, son. All right. My last one is Weird War Tales number 1. This was a long-running Bronze Age DC Comics title that is near and dear to my heart because it's one of those goofy concept books that can only take place in the 1970s comic book industry. Horror is hot right now. War books always sell. So let's do a horror war book where ghosts fight. There were some precedents for this with the Haunted Tank and GI Combat and stuff like that. But this was a book 100% devoted to just what it says on the tin, Weird War Tales. Now, this is a tough book in high grade. It's a double-sized 25 center back when DC was experimenting with that size. It's pretty expensive in high grade. However, lower grades are readily obtainable under $100. Here's why I'm recommending this book. If you find one under 100 bucks, you're going to sell it. It always sells, no matter what. No one's hyping this book up. No one talks about this book. But every time I see one at a convention, I go back a half hour later, she's gone. This book sells. There are a bunch of weirdos out there like me who want this book in any condition. It's a tough book.
There are no other weirdos like you, John.
No, trust me, if there weren't, I'd be swimming in Weird War Tales number ones without paying through the nose. So anytime I see a copy of Weird War Tales number 1 under 100 bucks, I grab it because I just hold on to it for a few years and double my money, basically.
Excellent. That's one of those great books that you're pretty much guaranteed to make a profit on.
It is. And, it came out in, I believe, 1970, which was 52 years ago now. Divide that by 2, subtract
There's 2 of us, yeah.
That's... And you've got 25 years. What? It's the 25-year rule? What? All right. This is the first bad segue of the year. So let's just rip that Band-Aid off.
Okay, we got it done.
All right. 25-year rule for this week is a book that I love. Well, a character that I love, not a book that I love, a character that I love. And that is Badger, number 1, on the cover. But inside, it's volume 3, number 78. What? Okay. This was the first issue from Image Comics of this long-running independent title. So volume 1 was a long run that went through the 1980s at First Comics. After that, volume 2 was Dark Horse Comics. This is volume 3. Right at Image. Now, Mike Barron is a purist. He liked to keep the numbering. He didn't like rebooting it over and over, so he made a compromise. Reboot it on the cover, call each new number 1 a number 1, but I wanted to say number 78 in the indicia, which, okay, there you go. This was Mike Barron's crazy animal-loving creation. which he had many legal wrangles over the copyright, I believe. When first comics went out of business, there was all sorts of drama over who owned what. They were able to work it out. Now, I'm just going to tell you the synopsis from this issue from comics.org, okay? The Badger and Lamont, a talking buffalo, stop Simon Pythias and his giant cockroaches from destroying the Wisconsin legislature.
Wow. Yeah.
How do you not want to read this comic book?
I know. That's awesome.
That says it all, doesn't it? That describes the Badger to a T. I was a big fan of this book during the first comics days. Then I never really followed it after the first cancellation. Our friend Forrest, our mutual friend Forrest, used to read this book too. We loved the Badger. This comic will run you about a whopping $2 on eBay. So you're not going to be out of money if you're looking for Badger number 1, volume 3, number 78. However, let's move on to our underrated books of the week for a book that will cost you a little bit more. And my pick is the Badger number 1 from First Comics. Sorry, Capital Comics in 1983. It actually started at Capital Comics, and Capital City was a distributor back then. There was a bit of a conflict of interest of them publishing their own comics. So it became First Comics with issue 3, I believe. This is the actual first appearance of the Badger, everyone's favorite mentally ill Vietnam veteran animal rights supporter slash vigilante. Great story and art by Mike Baron and Jeff Butler. Now, you know, Mike Baron went on to write a long run for The Flash at DC, uh-huh, an even longer run at The Punisher at Marvel. You know what Mike Baron does. He is crazy. He writes really cool plots that come from out of left field. Jeff Butler, for you uber geeks like Richard and I, you will recognize his art because he did most of the art for the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game from TSR. That was all Jeff Butler on art. Now, raw copies of the Badger number 1 go from anywhere from $8 to $15 on eBay. The last sale on GPA for CGC 9.8 was a super affordable $83 back in July. This book has not been rebooted. It's not going on now. There's nothing happening with the Badger. It's just a huge sentimental favorite of mine. Doing the 25-year rule this week reminded me how much I loved this book back in the day, so I think I'm going to go back and read some digital copies of this book.
I did not. This was not a book that was in my wheelhouse. I did not read any Badger. I've seen it over the years. It's one of those ubiquitous books that shows up in collections, but I can't say honestly that I've read it.
How can you resist Lamont the Talking Buffalo and the Badger fighting giant cockroaches in the Wisconsin legislature?
I can't resist it. With that kind of summary, I need to read it.
I think you do. And everyone else out there, go read The Badger. What do you have?
My pick this week is Spectacular Spider-Man 101. Not Amazing Spider-Man 101, but Spectacular Spider-Man 101.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That black and white cover by John Byrne.
Yes, it is a gorgeous cover. And I've always loved that book. I've always loved that cover. I have it as a part of my personal collection that I bought off back in the day. It is a iconic cover, Spidey in his black suit against a black and white background. Just amazing. There's been homage to it here recently. It started to gain traction with collectors. The one thing about the Spectacular Spider-Man series is it just doesn't get any respect. It is the Rodney Dangerfield of Spider-Man titles.
It's also ran, you have over 100 issues with Sal Buscema art. God bless the guy. He was a craftsman, but not really exciting in the art department.
No. And the stories in it always seem to not be as connected as the stories in ASM.
They weren't consequential.
Right, exactly. But, so that means this book is probably in a lot of runs of Spectacular Spider-Man. And people may be sitting on these books and not really realize it. The value of this book has really started to spike, and I think now is the time to buy it before it really starts to hit its heights. There's a Mark Jewelers version of this book and a Canadian price variant of the book. The Canadian price variant is rare. There's only 15 total on the census. There are about 134 9.8s of the non-Canadian variant on the census. And the book for a 9.8 is going for, the 98-day average is $388. So, wow. Yeah, it's to me, it's one of those affordable classics. You know, you're not gonna see another original cover like this, and it's easy enough to find this book in, like, as I said, in pre-existing Spectacular Spider-Man collections like mine. I just went into my collection 20 minutes ago and pulled it out because it was sitting in there.
But is it a 9.8? I bet you this is a real tough book in 9.8. Look at that black cover.
Yeah. This is not, there's a couple corner things going on with this book. So I don't know if I qualified as 9.8. But yeah, that black cover is just brutal. My thought, though, is if somebody bagged and boarded their Spectacular Spider-Man collection like I did, and it's been sitting there for the past 30 years like mine has, you know, there's a potential of getting a high grade for it. The 9.8s there are also, you know, always going to be difficult. And even more so, that Canadian price variant in a 9.8 is going to be brutal to find.
This is a really good pick because as much as people are now focused on covers, iconic covers, classic covers, this one is a sleeper. Dude, good job.
Thank you.
Look at you digging deep, pulling out the cool stuff. All right. Well, if you want more of that, make sure you hang out this week and join us on our bonus episode this Friday. And follow us at Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods. Visit the website. Someday I'll update it. Like this video, hit subscribe, and hit that ding-dong notification bell so you know whenever we go live. Right, Richard?
Right, John.
All right. We will see you then. Have fun, everybody.
Yep. Everybody stay safe.